What is happening? As always, we're joined by the Pierce fella in Edinburgh, and he's back on. We have the world famous Matt Jafar O'Reilly, the best Irish rebel singer in all of the land. Lads, we just discussed there previously before we come on. Today is one of those beautiful Sundays. First of all, Matt, we'll go to yourself. How are you feeling, big man?
Absolutely delighted, beyond belief, delighted. Not kidding myself, there's still five quarterfinals to go for Celtic, sort of to put the negative spin, not the negative spin on, but the sort of realism approach. But what a day, Ross County, fully deserved. What's the game, Ross County, fully deserved the 3 points. And big Baltimore, absolutely fuming, showed his lack of class once again. So, great Sunday.
I think the big thing about it is you usually just associate someone with a baldy head called Baldermort, but he actually looks like him. the similarities on Kennedy. On Kennedy, sorry. I think that's on Kennedy here.
His actions at the end of the game, don't care what you say, and I hear that ever comparing their managers, but Michael Beale wouldn't have done that, you know, even when losing. You know, I just thought it showed such a lack of class, and it's just like, Mike actually put it perfectly. He says he's went down that tunnel straight away because Ross County had the cheat not to lie down the Rangers today. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Great. Pierce, there's something about that club where, you know, managers come and, like the likes of Clement, when he first came in, the whole narrative from the Scottish mainstream media was that he was a nice guy and, you know, he wasn't going to sort of buy in the, you know, get carried away emotionally to things. But, I mean, as Matt says, I think that was an example of what that football club does to good people. They they ruin them. Are you feeling on top of the world yourself, mate?
Ah, yeah, it's just... I don't know about you, but I enjoy them losing way more than I enjoy us winning. Like, I can't deny it. It's just because it's just relief when we win, whereas when they don't, they're just pure joy. He's again, like, this could look stupid if we go and drop a lot of points now and don't win the league, but he is just, he's so arrogant, isn't he? The way he comes across, like, the whole thing, the build up to the last game by saying that, like, McGregor didn't dominate the game at New Year's, and last week with a lap of honour for winning the league, they just can't help themselves. Every time they just have to keep going with the we've won it. Like, I think I but the night they beat Kilmarnock, the midweek game, that Heart in Hand tweeted, that's it, this team's gonna win the league or something like that. So I've had that tweet bookmarked for months. Like, it's just bookmarks full.
Matt sent me that after the game. He actually sent me that not too long ago. Absolutely fantastic, mate. Like you say, it's one of these things where I think Celtic have a DAT in terms of, like, they just do their talking on the pitch, don't they? You never really see a player from Celtic or anyone associated with Celtic coming out with, you know, very rarely you see a player, like, I mean, Callum McGregor or James Forrest, I'm not even too certain if they have Twitter. I think actually Callum McGregor, someone highlighted or retweeted one of his posts when him and Jack Grealish were at Mads County the other week. Yeah. So he is on Twitter. He's somewhere on Twitter. But you never really see anyone associated with a club coming out and bumping their load, do you really? Like, you don't really see this fucking, this just, that's us, we've won the league, or like sharing an image of you scoring up the Rangers player. It just seems like it's a common theme every single season for them so far, where they get carried away, mate. They just can't help themselves, but, you know, come out and it's like the war cry. The thing about it is the fans buy into it. They're just so silly that they don't click on. They just buy into it every single time, mate.
I buy into it constantly, and they talk and talk and talk and talk every single year. But they're like, I watch the game, and I mean, like, you coach it. At youth level, Lee, and I'd coach Barry at basic sort of grassroots level. But when you're watching football, you can see teams' tactics when they're so brazen. And for being one of their main men, and Conor Goldson, the amount that Ross County targeted him that day was absolutely insane. I mean, it was wet. Same with Ferry had him, or same with Murray, sorry. That's same with Ferry. Same with Murray had him doing it bomb dance. Like he was, he twisted blood, like, and that's one of their main men. But you know, they're just, it's just the talking, you know, after the, like, that, how bad was that Napa Hunter look last week against us? Now,
we spoke about it last week. I actually spoke about it when I was out having a few pints by lads, wasn't it? We were like, obviously, we were obviously devastated that, you know, we didn't get the 3 points last week, just in the manner of which it happened. But, yeah. Like, they're running about there, and he's geeing up the crowd. They're fucking loving it. They're absolutely loving it. But that's proven to be, you know, a poor result for them, Pierce. And this was the game for them. Obviously, their game against Dundee was delayed again. And he had the knack to come out in his post-match interview and say that the preparations weren't great for this fixture, forgetting the fact that that game was 4 days ago.
Yeah. He's just a clown. It's any excuse that they'll find anything to not be. It's always pushed the blame onto somebody else. Look, it's all great having a laugh now, but 5-4 yesterday, I was thinking, we're not getting a goal here in our game. I was like, this is just, if we've been given the chance to win 6 out of 6 here, we're going to fall at the first hurdle.
Yeah.
With yesterday's game, Matt, you knew exactly what way St Mirren were going to play. You know, you knew exactly what they were going to be doing with that low block and trying to frustrate Celtic. And I think it was a very frustrating first half. You go on the Twitter at half time and you see, you know, tweets saying that this is absolutely brutal and whatever else, but it was still confident. There wasn't really, I thought Salik had enough, mate, to go out there and obviously get the 3 points, and yeah, definitely worked out that way. We did it with the result, easily, obviously.
You know me, I love a controversial take, a hot take, Lee. So I'm going to come up one more on yesterday's first half. I didn't think Celtic were all that bad yesterday in the first half. I just thought St Mirren's tactics were bang on. I thought they were spot on. Credit to Tati out in the middle of the park. Didn't give Celtic any space to move. Now, most teams are going to do that, but I thought Celtic, their movement, I thought they looked okay. They were grand. And like you said, I thought that the more the game went on, I just thought, you know, spaces will open up somewhere and get tighter and tighter, and Celtic will get a goal. Like, I wasn't, like, there's been games, you know, talking about maybe the Ross County game at home earlier in the season, where you're watching going, my God, this is dire, but I never felt that yesterday. I just always felt that Celtic had that in Celtic. I was confident we were going to score. I really was. And then when we got the first one, I was confident the next one would come, and the next one would come. And in the end, I thought Celtic could have won by 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, delightful result.
I think as well, that's yesterday in the second half, when you have players like Hatate back performing, it sort of gives you that wee bit of confidence, Pierce. You know, it's like, you know, beforehand, you could say that the Rangers game last week was probably the first time that Rodgers probably had his strongest squad. Obviously, he had McGregor on the bench and wasn't fully fit to play, but when you have those players back, when you have Cameron Carter-Vickers back, when you have Hatate on the field, you can actually see an improvement in Matt O'Reilly, who I think has been a wee bit quiet in recent weeks, but when you have Hatate on the field, like, and you tell by that first goal, Pierce, it's an immense finish. You definitely do. It gives you, fills you out with a bit more confidence. Obviously, every game now is like squeaky bum time, but it's great to have him back at this stage of the season, isn't it?
No one else in the team could score that goal he scored yesterday. No. Because the touch, it was actually wasn't even a great touch, but he was able to adjust his body and just finish it. He makes a massive difference. And I don't know what way it came across looking on the television yesterday, but see the wind, like, it was just a swirling wind yesterday. It was impossible to do anything. No, I think you're kind of right, Matt. I think St Mirren did set up really well in the first half. They've actually, I don't like giving Stephen Robinson any credit at all, but he's done a decent enough job with them. They've got some decent players. But yeah, second half, I think we moved the ball a lot quicker. That second half, Alistair Johnson was really, really good in the second half. He was a lot more aggressive with his play. The way he won the ball for the fourth, was that the first goal? Yeah, I think it was the first goal.
Yeah, he two assists, right?
Yeah, and then that cross was incredible for Kyogo's goal. But the whole second half was a lot better. Carter Vickers is just a Rolls Royce, isn't he? I would give him another contract on top of the one we gave him in January.
Yeah,
See on that, talking about St Mariner, and not to go too far off topic, do you know who I really like from Lee? And maybe because he's sort of from where we're from. See your wee boy, Boyd Munson in the middle of the park. I think he is class. Every time he plays against Celtic, he always does a job. And I thought he was big, the what High St Mariner were another fan Celtic yesterday in the first half. Obviously, the more the game went on, Hatate sort of, you know, stamped as a 40 a wee bit, but he was one player I was watching going, he's always good against Celtic. Do you know what I mean?
Keelan is the first. He's the first player that's played against Celtic where you're actually wanting them to do well.
Yeah.
Not do. I don't want him to go out there and win. But like he's a good friend of mine's cousin. I know him since he's a kid. He's a great lad, and he comes from an unbelievable family. Like the Munsters really are a fantastic family, a good football family as well, and. When you see Keelan have an opportunity, like see him running out there at Celtic Park, all his family were there at the game. And
yeah.
It's just, I'm sure it's a fucking unbelievable just moment for him. And then obviously when you see Keelan performing like that, I mean, he's up against fucking Rio Atari, Mattarelli, Tomoki Awali.
I don't think he looked out of place. No, that, no, he's one that, and I didn't know, like they said, like, I didn't know if it was just because he's from our area and you'd sort of, like you said, you kind of want him to do okay. But watching him, he was sort of, I was going, he's their sort of catalyst in midfield. He's winning balls, he's moving them on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
I mean, like, the quality told, you know, in the second half, Hatate got his foot, like, you know, the foothold in the game a wee bit more. Like you said, I think O'Reilly looks a lot better with him alongside him.
Confidence breeds confidence, doesn't it? And you actually said the other week, Pierce, we haven't been the last load of games hitting shots from outside the box. Hatate loves that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loves the shot.
It's just something different, isn't it?
He loves the shot, yeah. It's just, but there was even one the second half where someone took a shot. I think it was maybe after the first goal, after the second goal. And the keeper parried it. And it's like, that can happen. Like, the ball can break to someone in the box. Even Ida's goal came with people being in top of the goalkeeper. It just makes common sense, but it was a lot better. The only negative is if Yang has to go for me, I'd actually play Forrest for the rest of the season.
You've started him. Here he comes.
I'm going to disagree with it. I am. I think Yang's still got a lot to offer Celtic, and I think against Rangers, I'd blame them for the third goal. Wasn't quick enough. Yes, that's fine. Robbie Rotondo, but the way some Celtic fans get on Twitter, you'd think Yang went out on their pitch and shot someone at Ibrox. You know, he's a lure, you know, he's still a young player. I think he's class. I really do. I think he's got so much to offer. I think Kuhn looks, for me, looks a wee bit lightweight, you know, going forward. Is he the answer? I think Yang looks more of an answer than Kuhn right now.
I don't think either of them are probably the real answer going forward next season. I would want to go forward.
Yeah.
The thing about that is they're both tied in the contract, so they're definitely going to be there and they're definitely going to be fighting for a starting place. If, out of the two, I'll probably disagree with both of you. I'm going to say that Pierce, I like Yang. I think that he was very unfortunate when he got sent off against Hearts because he had a good few performances in the lead-up to that game. And that sending off could be, you know, when you're out, you're missing a couple of games, the team gets playing well again. It can be a wee bit of a boy to try and get yourself back in and get to the level of performances you've been having. I think that there's a player in Yang. I really, really do. I think that in terms of driving forward, he's good. He's not afraid to take. He takes on a man. He can create something from nothing. He obviously needs the way we set up now 4-3-3. He does need to be better defensively. Kuhn's impressed me. Kuhn's been a surprise for me. Everyone, and let's be honest about this, everyone had Kuhn written off after a few games, but
me included.
Yeah, but listen, me and I spoke about it myself, you know. And
it was the Hibs one, wasn't it?
To be fair, it was a really poor performance. And with that being said, he definitely has improved. You know, I think as well, it takes a bit of time to bed in and this different style of play, and as well, the expectations. I mean, like, players are playing for other clubs around Europe, and you can get away with a draw. You can get away with defeats. Every club wants wins and stuff, but the expectations at this football club, some players maybe takes a wee bit of time to adapt yet, Matt.
I would agree. Yeah, it does take you know, I think some players maybe underestimate the pressure that it is to come to Celtic and maybe come from clubs where, you know, where it's okay to maybe draw a game here, draw a game there, maybe lose one. And then, you know, Celtic, the pressure is hard to win every single game. And that's why players, I know there's malign players, like people saying, the likes of James Forrest has done, the likes of, you know the old guard, like Forrest being the sort of main example, but his mentality, the likes of Joe Hart, their mentality of knowing what it takes to win every single game is crucial to Celtic squad, especially this year. You know what I mean? To get us over that lane. But the likes of Cunanan, I seen a thing that when he first came to Celtic, he got a load of teeth out as well. So he had dental problems, and that was a factor in his first few performances, which would, do you know what I mean? And all that sort of come to a new country and then that happening. So yeah, I definitely think it does take players time to sort of, some players time to sort of get up to speed with the expectations of a club like Celtic.
It's definitely in our, you could definitely say that our way, man. We haven't been the strongest in that position all season. You know, you've obviously Palmer in there as well, and it looks now like Maida is going to be here for the rest of the season.
Our best winger's been on loan as well.
We'll come back. Don't worry, we'll come back. But with Yang and with Kuhn, those two for me, I can see having the future. It's all like,
aye.
On the other hand, for me, doesn't that strike me as a winger? Again, I really hope that I'm proved wrong by this, but it just seems slow at times, lethargic, and there is a bit of quality there. He scored a couple of Brendan Gould this season, and he's had a couple of good performances, Atletico Madrid and stuff. With that being said, I think it's an area that we need to improve upon. We've obviously Deiza Maida, but he's a huge loss for the rest of the season, lads. Pierce, yeah, we've spoke about Deiza Maida at length, and I think last week, mate, we spoke about it, where the perfect example of what Deiza Maida brings is he scores that goal, he puts Tavernier under so much pressure, then he sends that cross in the Rosier and misses that chance where Butland saves it. But I mean, players like that, you know, he's crucial to the way we play, Pierce.
He is. And look, I'm really not Maida's biggest fan in the world, but for that kind of game against them, he's perfect for Tavernier. And that is my worry. If he's out for the season, they're going to probably have Yang on the left wing. And it's not just to do with, like last week, the Matondo thing. Look, that can kind of happen. But yesterday, the amount of times he switched off and didn't see things that were coming back. Look, he might be a player and he might come on next season, but I would still want us to get two new wingers going forward. I was actually thinking yesterday watching, now we've actually a big rebuild in the summer in terms of like a goalkeeper, probably a centre-half, a winger, an O'Reilly replacement. Maybe like we could have like five new starting players next season for the season. It's mad.
Yeah. I actually totally agree with that. I'm just going to roll through them in my head there. I actually totally agree with that. I think you're talking five at least.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Now, Matt, we've had this conversation this season, and for me, one of the biggest players, one of the best performing players for me in the last sort of 68 weeks has been Joe Hart.
Third year.
And yesterday as well, just see that maybe it's because he's coming to the end of his career, he's coming to the end of his time at Celtic, but you can just tell how much that he's savouring this and he's loving every second of it, going around the pitch. You see, having players, like that's just what I'm saying about like having your players at Rangers where that sort of the whole idea of trying to G up your fans is putting on a photo of, you know, fucking scoring up the Greg Taylor, or you put a wee tweet out, or you do something ridiculous where you run over the fans and get the fans teed up. And we have players like Joe Hart, who must be an absolutely incredibly positive influence in that changing room. Someone who gets it, someone who fucking protects his teammates, who raises his teammates up. He's running about the crowd. You can see it fucking just sitting last week, looking at the Green Brigade, taking on them songs and stuff. I think he's going to be a huge loss. If I was to think that I was going to say this at this stage of the season, I'd have probably laughed at you 6 months ago. But he has been an unbelievable servant to his football club. Coming to the end of his career before he signed with Celtic, and to have such a real positive influence, he, for me, is one of the main reasons why we're sitting in the driving seat in terms of winning this league. But
big time. Is saving the first half at Ibrox was unbelievable. Towards the end of the half, it was unreal. But he's just got that. I don't care if it's, you know, see when Celtic were, you know, when Ange had first came in, I don't think it was sort of, it was you know, impressed upon enough how important it was to get that right. And to get him for the fee that was dead, with the pedigree he has, was absolutely unbelievable. And see the job, like, you know, he's been an, well, I agree, but he's been an unbelievable servant. He's going to be massive, really hard to replace, because you're not just replacing his quality, which he has, you're replacing that leadership, that organisation, you're replacing everything. And I think Sally have a big job in their hands to do so. You know what I mean? I think it's one thing that I would say Rangers got right when they bought Jack Butland. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, similar kind of, not as much of an aura, Joe Hart, but similar kind of aura. Do you know what I mean? And I think that he's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. My favourite Celtic keeper since Borch.
I know how much you love him. I get the nail on the head there and you say that. And the thing about them is they seem to always get a good goalkeeper.
That's weird.
Jack Butland, you have to say it, fucking pains you to say it, but he really is sensational. Some of the saves that he pulls off, he pulled off a couple of fantastic saves a day. Fucking cunt.
Although I would have blamed him for the second goal, for some earned second goal.
Joe Hart?
Ross County, sorry. I'd have blamed him for Ross County's second goal.
Yeah?
Jack Butland. Aye. Yeah, but I agree with what you're saying, Nick. You know, it pains you to say it, but he is a good goalie. Definitely. Yeah.
It's definitely that area. It's such a key position, isn't it, Pierce? You need to have someone there between the sticks who you trust and who can command the back end and stuff like that there. It's going to be interesting. The whole talk is they were bringing this guy in from Turkey. But you know what it's like. You hear all these rumours and stuff. But, yeah, you look at that Celtic team, I don't know if you've seen it, Matt, but me and Pierce spoke about this at length, about Brendan Rodgers' conference yesterday. Again, this is what I'm talking about. It's just a fucking positive feeling. You know, stuff that he says, it's like, we've been in this position before. This is where Celtic come out, and this is where, you know, this is what we do best, and bring it on. I mean, that's what you want, though. That's like, listen, yeah. We all know the way Brendan Rodgers left Celtic. It was very distasteful. A lot of people still are over it and stuff. For me, I really do believe that we're blessed to have him back in this position. I say the word blessed. I absolutely love the man. I love absolutely everything about him. And when he was getting criticized there a lot of games ago, I found it hard to believe because of the position he was in. He wasn't backed by the board. You can tell that he's not happy with certain areas in that team. But to go there last week and to put in that performance like they did in the first half, you know, to get results like they did yesterday, we're finished off in a position now where we're 1 point clear and we're still playing him at Celtic Park, Matt. That's a great position to be in, mate.
He's you know, he does, you know, I think what the, you know, you're talking about a lot of games ago, what it proves is Celtic do, in some sections, have some of the most reactionary fans in the world who wanted him out, and he said he couldn't motivate the players. He tore apart a treble winning team, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's had to deal with all manner of issues this year, but like you said, he does his talking on the park. He does his talking with how he sets the teams up and how he gets results in the big games. I thought even this year we looked good in Europe for the most part. I agree with you. And I never, ever thought I would be saying it back when he walked out, but we're blessed to have him back. And, you know, he's, like you said, all those months ago, he's managed under five, he's managed against five different Rangers managers, and every time the Rangers are coming, still haven't came yet, and it doesn't look like they're going to, you know, it just, when the battle, you know, when the stakes are at their highest, Celtic seem to always have the battle under him where Rangers don't. And that's being proven again. I hope I'm not eating my words in a few weeks, but it's being proven again.
You're well on the broads bus, aren't you, Pierce? You're well on it.
I was saying that to someone.
Whoa, let me rephrase that. The blessed broads bus.
St. Brendan's Voyage. He's I took a half day last year because I thought he was getting announced on the Friday. I took a half day from work and bought a cans because I sat at the back getting all excited for it. I thought, this is class. Yeah, you're spot on about Europe, by the way, Matt. Like, I think the ultimate performance for me that sums up that he's tactically astute was bringing on the centre-half against Atletico Madrid at home when he knew there's a point to be gotten here, whereas Ange would have brought on like four centre-forwards. Wow.
You were tailing up lovely.
Three Joe Hart up front.
They score six, we score seven. I'll ask you a question, Matt. If you're in this position, like Celtic are currently in, if you had to select the manager right now, would you select Brendan Rodgers or Ange Postecoglou, and why?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Right at this moment in time. I don't know if it's because I'm having a seatbelt strapped in on the Broads bus, like, but I'm just it has to be Rodgers for me. I love Rodgers. I've always thought unbelievable manager. Even when he went to Leicester, thought dirty stinking rat. Bastard, but I thought brilliant manager. Do you know what I mean? He has a bit of David Brandt about him, you know, sometimes, you know, and some of the stuff he comes out with, and you know,
it's just everything.
I just think tactically he's brilliant. He really, really is. And I think that right now, for the, not saying like Ange was a generational manager for Celtic. I love Ange fucking more than anything. I love Ange more than my own dad. But I just think right now, for the situation that Celtic are in right now, I think it's perfect for Brendan Rodgers. I think he just has that about him. I don't think Rangers feel that they can get the better of him. I think Clement is twice. I think just Rangers as a club, you know, I think they just dread seeing him coming. Do you know what I mean? So, now nah, Rodgers for me.
What about Rangers?
Never thought I'd be saying that a year ago.
It's actually a tough one, right? Because I remember it was my last year of school and I made a clown of myself because from like the November time, I was telling anyone who'd listen to me that Liverpool were going to win that Premier League. And I was just like shouting it. And then that's the only real title race he's been in, hasn't it? That and the two times he was fourth going into the last five or six games in the Premier League with Leicester and they ended up not getting the points. Now, I know he won the FA Cup and stuff. I don't know, Ange was, at this point, going to the split with Ange, you knew both times we were going to win the league. I wouldn't trade Brendan for anyone, like, at all right now. It's four, win our next four games, and we've won the league.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The people need to remember as well, Leicester City, you know what makes me laugh? Do you remember the time they beat City for the Community Shield final? It was Haaland's first game.
Yeah,
no, that was Liverpool. He wasn't there. It was like the previous year. He beat them and like shit. Yeah,
keep me on your toes. I'm going to backtrack here and say when he won the FA Cup final. Listen, think about the situation that we're in here now, and it's so nip and tuck. Brendan Rodgers knows this team and knows this league by now, and say that the amount of success that he's had. It's on mats. It's fucking absolutely incredible. And I think there is a certain element of fear when it comes to this Celtic team at this stage of the season, just because they've been there before and, you know, they know what the success tastes like. And when you have players in that changing room, when you have Colin McGregor, when you have Joe Hart, when you have your Greg Taylors who have been there over the last couple of years and seen all that success, you'd even throw in the likes of Alistair Johnson there now, who you can tell in their stands, you know, the expectancy of the fans and stuff. It must drive other players in the team on big time, Matt.
Big time. The likes of O'Reilly, the likes of the boys that have come in and they've won trophies and they know exactly what the expectations are. Yeah, definitely. Definitely would drive the other players on and having that experience in that dressing room. Like, North City, you know, Rangers talk about odd halves experience and what he offers. What's he got? 3 trophies, 4 trophies, you know, major trophies at the club. You know, when push has come to shove every time, they've battled it where Celtic have rose to the challenge. So I think Celtic's experience will stand them in good stead, definitely. But they're the likes of, I just think that, like, and I'm going to call you out on something here. Did you just praise Greg Taylor?
I didn't praise him. I didn't praise him. So what I say was that he's a senior player who understands what's needed. Greg Taylor is. I've always said this. Greg Taylor, he'll do a job for us domestically, home and away.
Yeah.
I think that he is. He would be a good player to have there for the next couple of years, whether that be starting the line, whether that be squad performance. I'm just talking about, like, I was going about the maybe call it a wee bit sort of living in dreamland or whatever else. But when Celtic at the, you know, Champions League football, European football, you want to have the best, strongest side. You would say that he probably would be the weak link when it comes to the European scene. But listen, I'm also a realist as well and understand he's such an important player. But so, like, I can't deny it. He is, like, you know, you're a loony tune if you don't believe that Greg Taylor is. Again, I do believe that, you know, you've said before about Joe Hart and he's a replaceable whatever else. Whereas I look at the likes of Greg Taylor and go, he is replaceable. You can't bring someone of better quality in there. You know, I think the proof's in the pudding. There has been performances where he has been a wee bit off it.
Yeah.
Especially on the European front. But see, that's the whole thing, isn't it?
I agree with you. I think, you know, there probably is a better quality replacement there to be got. You know, there's boys in better pay positions than us three to go and identify that person. But see, talking about the sort of my namesake at Ibrox last Sunday, just watching the game with my dad. My ma walked in the room as O'Reilly was hitting his penalty. O'Reilly scores it. My dad jumps up and points at the TV and goes, looks at my man and goes, I love that man O'Reilly more than I love that man O'Reilly. Man, like, what a horrible thing to say.
What a man. The man that has drove Rock Athletic to success. An absolute human being.
He's a hero, like, but I was like, fucking cheers, Dad.
Legend, mate. He went from fucking pure fucking happiness to total fucking trauma in the space of 3 seconds.
I was like, don't say that. He was like, I'm joking. Not really. But
going back to that, the nerve to pull that off there is just ridiculous. Ridiculous, Pierce.
Coconut to say the melons.
You'd have taken him off if you missed, like get off the pitch.
You'd be taking him out if you missed that, done that.
Well, you know, you might know people, but I personally wouldn't be able to comment on that kind of matter.
Well, you're looking towards Matt already. I know absolutely nothing that you're talking about there. I'll be dragged on a talk here by your handlers, Mr. Regan. it has been an absolutely fantastic week. Yeah, you're taking that every single day of the week. What did you make of, I don't know, going back to their game, I know you didn't watch much of it, Pierce, but it's getting to the stage where it's laughable the amount of penalties these boys are getting. I mean, you can just write the script.
I know.
I didn't say it wasn't a penalty.
In today's football, you can see why it's given, but there's nothing that defender can do. It comes at him. It takes a deflection. So the ball's crossed in, it takes a deflection, and it hits his hand. His hand's up. His knee's up. He's just there. This whole thing about the hand being in an unnatural position does my head in, because you're not thinking to yourself when you're trying to block a ball where your fucking hand placement's going to be. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't, you're just thinking about blocking the ball. Like, you know, but if your hand's way up, obviously it's going to be a penalty. But, I mean, Connor Goldson makes hand, and it goes to the commentary, and the commentary are like, oh, but his hand was in a natural position. Was it? Yeah. His hand was out in front.
Yeah. Did you see the one that Man United got yesterday? That was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. The Rangers one was, right, so letter of the law, it's a penalty, right? But if it makes sense, and James McFadden actually made a good point, it's like his hands in the position where when you're going to jump, you know, you need to use your hands sort of, you know, his hands in the position where he's just made a jump in motion.
Yeah.
He's made the jump in motion and the ball has just come down and hit his hand because his hand is out that wee bit from his leg. I would call that, in the context of what was happening in the game, I would call that a natural position because he's, you know, he's just making the jump in motion to try and hit the ball away. And
you're not going to jump the block across with your hands by your side, are you?
I know, or your hands behind your back, do you know what I mean? So
you see a lot of them doing it now, but that's the whole way that the game's going, isn't it? It's just like controversial decisions. I mean, Pierce mentioned that Man United one yesterday. I mean, you're talking about people who are actually paid to give that decision, but then it goes to VAR and they're literally sitting in front of a screen and they're going, right, okay, that's a penalty. I agree with the referee. It's crazy. The VAR for me, the idea of VAR in soccer for me is a really, really good thing because what it does is it basically takes away, like, if a referees make mistakes, it's part of the game, right? But when you've got VAR there, certainly goes to VAR and right, you got that wrong, overturn of the season, but there's so many inconsistencies, there's so many gray areas in football. It's not as black and white as rugby, it's not as black and white as American football. It's just one of those games where it's like, I mean, going back to the original point of, like, I think that's their 15th penalty this season. Is it 15 or 16 or somewhere along those lines? Pierce, you're the stat man.
I don't know. I didn't click into it, but it was not a thing the other day where, like, they got, like, two more penalties this season. It was some sort of, like, I don't know if it was a world record or some sort of, I don't know, weird thing.
Tavernier's 50th penalty scored for Rangers today.
And he's missed about 10 or 12, hasn't he?
He's missed a good few too.
He, again, I have no qualms in saying this, and I am confident this will come back and bait me. He is a myth.
Ah, big 10.
Laugh at me. Like, literally, like, going forward, he's a very good player. He you can sort of say he's like a Trent where he's really good attacking. Defensively, he is just inept. Like you says, Matt, the very start of this, Connor Goldson. You have the players there, they have like Kieran Doyle, John Lundstrom.
Oh,
what? Like, honestly, they accept that. They're accepting players like that. He is awful.
Yeah.
He just runs about there. And I mean, what's in that game today? Growing up, any sort of Ranger say before they went, they were liquidated. You had teams there who gave 100%, right? Like Celtic as well. You watch that today. That team they're poor. They're absolutely poor. And this is the best thing so far this season, the way it's panned out. This is possibly the worst Celtic side in a long, long number of years compared to what you would call the supposed best side, Matt, of Rangers. I don't know, but that's absolutely gorgeous.
I think that, you know, Celtic have dropped stupid points this year, 100%. Yeah, but I think when the Celtic team's at full strength, I still think they're a very, very, very good side. I don't care what anyone says. Like, you know, they've had to contend with injuries upon injuries this year, but I think that first half at Ibrox showed, second half at St Mirren showed that when we get going and we go up through the gears, we can tear teams apart. Do you know what I mean? So I just think injuries have killed us this year more than anything. This is meant to be there, me and me. You know, this is still remnants of the team that was supposed to be as good as or better than the last one lands getting the Europa League final. Do you know what I mean? They're absolutely dog meat.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of like injuries, and I know maybe coming out the other side, it's easy to look back and say, oh, there was a lot of injuries, because if you do look back, when we had players about and when they were fit. The last time we had a full squad was like the Atletico Madrid game, and then we just after we beat Hearts and we were like 8 points clear, and then Hattati was out injured, McGregor was out for a while, wasn't he? All the stuff with the wingers, they all just disappeared. So that has been an awful lot of injuries, definitely this season, and I just have to hope that we get through it now, and come out the other side. Like, and but not there. This, I think, this would be the worst Celtic team. Well, definitely the worst Celtic team I can think of that I can remember that has beaten them for a league. Maybe there's worse teams like during like the, you know, after they went bust and like maybe the end of Lennon start or like Ronnie Doyle, that kind of those teams.
It's definitely one of those seasons, like you say, with injuries and stuff. Aberdeen next week, lads. Aberdeen coming on Saturday. Cup hasn't really been spoken about because there's been so much emphasis on the league, but you can't take the foot of the gas. That's a massive game as well, isn't it? It's a semi-final of a cup. It's really, really good to keep the... It's a good opportunity to keep the momentum going. Any concerns with that, Matt? Any concerns with it? You think it's going to be a walk in the park?
Don't think it'll be a walk in the park by any stretch. I think the Aberdeen are dangerous enough. I think what they were doing at that point in... Neil Warnock was beyond me. He treated up here up in Scotland like a holiday camp. He was an absolute embarrassment, you know. Don't know what they were doing to appoint him, but I still think they're at the end of the side. Your boy Mionski up front, your boy Duke, your wee man Connor is a Baron in the middle of the park. There's a few players right the way through their team. So not be a water park, but I still think Celtic, you know, Celtic, it's all about Celtic just getting up through the gears. If Celtic sort of get up through their gears early in the game, I can't say anything other than a Celtic win.
What about yourself, Pierce? You going through to the game, yeah?
No, I'll be home next Saturday. I don't even know if I'll actually see the game, but I can't see us not winning. But I think you're right, Matt. They've had a disaster. But I actually don't think Aberdeen are as bad as where they are in that league. They've had a disaster of a season, but like Mayovsky and Duke, the two of them last season, they scored something like 40 goals between the two of them. I can't see. Look, Brendan, he loves Hamden, doesn't he? He's won every game there, so
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's in terms of the business end of the season, if there's a manager you want in place, it's Brendan Rodgers.
His ego is so big that he will not want to lose any games.
I am absolutely here for it.
Yeah. I'm
here for it.
A Celtic scouting team talking about Mielski aren't at least asking the question of how much he'll cost in the summer. I think it's mental. I think he's best striker in Scotland out with Kyogo.
Yeah. Buy him before Ida?
I would take him before Ida. Take him before Ida. You get him cheaper, and I think all that. Ida's been brilliant for Celtic, but I think Mielski's better. I think Mielski's a better player. Just my opinion. Just through watching him play against Celtic, he's class.
Is Lee froze?
What? Sorry. Did I repeat that? Adam
Ida has been brilliant for Celtic. Been absolutely unreal, but I think that Mielski's a better player, in my opinion. I think I love Vida. He just had fucking, you know, he'd be, if we go on and win the title, he'd be a big reason why we've went on and won the title. But I think Mielski, I just think he's better.
Not at all, isn't it? It's the thing about football, isn't it? It's a game of opinions, definitely. Yeah. Listen, I really rate Mayovsky, especially when he's playing for Aberdeen. His goal return for Aberdeen is incredible. If you put him in the SA like Celtic, where he's going to get more opportunities, his goal return surely goes through the roof. With that being said, I think that Adam Ida has been a crucial part of Celtic's success recently, just because of the difference that he brings to that. Again, St. Mirren yesterday, the setup in a low block, Kyogo can't make his runs that he usually does because the box is so congested. When you have someone like Adam Ida, not that you always this thing about Celtic where you want a big, tall, fucking striker in the box, whatever else, but at the end of the day, it's not a fucking bad thing to have as well. The whole talk before Adam Ida came to Celtic was that he's not good enough and he can't cut the mustard for Norwich and he's not really good for the national team or whatever else. It wasn't even sort of like blind hope that you wanted Adam Ida to do well because he was Irish or whatever else. But for me, anyway, when you break it down, the Championship's a very, very difficult league. And he has players there. He's competing with a jaw starter for starting positions at Norwich. But for his goal return, what's he scored? 6 goals in 9 games? Something ridiculous like that.
His goal to minute ratio must be like incredible.
ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous as well. He scored some fucking huge, huge goals. That Hibs penalty, for me, is right up there as one of the most important goals this season. The circumstances
header,
of it.
The header at Motherwell is just...
This is one thing I would think about with Radomir, right? So Norwich are talking 6 million plus to sign him permanently, right?
Yeah.
He's never going to be Celtic's number one striker as long as Cubos at the club. He's never going to be number one striker. They could go and get, and again, I'm sitting up championing Miolski. He's just a player I really, really like ever since he went to Aberdeen. You probably get Miolski for about a third of that. Maybe, who knows, he won't play every game. Who I think is just as good, if not better. And, you know, I think that's what we Celtic will be thinking in the summer. They'll be thinking, right, okay, we're really going to spend, we're really going to put this guy into our top 10 most expensive players to sit on the bench most weeks.
It's a really interesting one, because we've actually spoke a few times. There's players that have came to Celtic before. I think one example they could use is Moyal Yunusi, you know, fucking goes from Bali, he goes to Southampton for something like 16, 17 million. Never really had an opportunity. Never really fucking had a real opportunity to find his feet and bend himself in the starting position at any club. Celtic provided him that opportunity. You could see he was starting most games for Celtic. He was doing really well. And obviously didn't work out in the end. He was back and whatever else. But players like Adamita, for me, must love that going up to Celtic. Like, again, maybe this has come across biased, but I always look back at the players who leave Celtic and think that, you know, by going to England, that their careers are going to just take off tenfold. Patrick Roberts being an example. Like, you know, like I say, it's not being petty or whatever else, but if Patrick Roberts stays at Celtic, he possibly goes down as a fucking, he's a cult hero. He was loved. He was so successful under Brendan Rodgers. He was winning trophies. He's now playing for Sunderland, doing absolutely fuck all. Adamita goes back to Norwich. Norwich are in one of those situations. They're actually doing okay this season. They're actually doing really, really well. But is he going to be a starting striker in the Premier League? Maybe not. He's at Celtic. He's found his feet. He's doing really well. He's a great relationship, obviously, with the fans. I don't know. For me, it's a no-brainer to say Adamita. I would be absolutely delighted to bring him to Celtic. Like you say, you see sometimes players and they look happy and whatever else, but you don't actually know the internal motive of what they want, Pierce.
Yeah. I really like him, but yeah, it's that kind of like, are you going to spend 7.5, maybe 8 million quid on a guy that in the main will probably play 25, 30 minutes out of a game? It is a big outlay. But I really, really like Ada. And I think there's an awful lot more to Ada than just a big guy in the box. His touch is lovely. He can come short. He can hold up the play. He gave us, when we couldn't get out last week, he came on and pretty much brought us back into the game. Not just with the goal, obviously.
I think he's one of the main reasons we came away from some last week. His hold up play was incredible, Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of these things as well where it's like you're talking about 6 million, you're going to go for Bojan Majovski and, you know, maybe get him at a fraction of the price or whatever else. But again, I'm always of the idea that Celtic need to progress. Celtic need to. We understand now what football is all about in terms of spending money for players that you need. You know, I always look at it in a sort of, you know, a logical sense where you go, you know exactly what Adamita brings to this team. We can see it, you know, the proof's in the pudding. He scored 6 goals in 9 games. He's done really well. We know all his qualities. We know all his weaknesses. Maybe he's not going to be a starting 11, but are you taking a chance going to get another player like Bojan Majovski? He's playing for Aberdeen. You know, going from Aberdeen to Celtic is a huge step. It is what it is. I just think that, is there a real need, Matt, to take that chance and let a player like Adamita go back to Norwich and send the likes of a Majovski?
Right, so I'll sort of go twofold in this answer, because I think that I can't see Celtic spending 6 million on 2 players in the same summer. They did it with Carter Vickers and Jota, but I think if Celtic are going to spend 6 million, north of 6 million on anybody this summer, it's going to be Paulo Bernardo. I think that's who they'll go and try and get. I mean, you're saying it's a risk, but Miolski's proven in the league. It was also a risk, you know, you're going back in the day. It was also a risk to sign Scott McDonald from Motherwell to play him in the Champions League. It was also a risk saying Barry Robson from the United. It was also a risk saying Paul Hartley, Stephen Presley. You know, there's players right the way through the history of the last 20, 30 years that have...
I don't mean to say that it's so much of a risk saying on players from clubs like that. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that we know what Adam Ada brings us. Like, you know, we have it right in front of our eyes now.
Yeah.
It's obviously been a successful loan move for him. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if we can spend the money on a player like that, there for some player that we know can cut the muscle. It's not like, you know, I'm not sort of saying that we can't be looking at the Scottish market and bringing in players, but just wanted to point that out there in case you thought I was saying that.
No. I think that you know, one league that I think is fully, and this is sort of maybe an off track a wee touch, but one league that's completely utilizing the Scottish market and sort of is the Italian league. You know, the likes of Lewis Ferguson, the likes of George Doig, the likes of Aaron Hickey, players that maybe Celtic and Rangers, in a for lack of a better word, were took a wee bit of a snobbish view to. There's no, no, if we need someone in that position, we'll go elsewhere. And look at what they're doing now. So I think it's a market that definitely needs to be looked at more, like what's right in our doorstep, which is why I'm sort of championing the likes of Miowski, the likes of Duke, the likes, you know, like Savanti at Hibs and stuff. You know, I think that there are boys that could come on and raise their levels at Celtic, you know, that are playing in the SPL now.
What's your take on that, Pierce?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, it's the players that will come in and immediately start, probably not. Quite like the look of that Lennon Miller with Motherwell. I think that kid looks like a proper player. I don't know if he's signed for us. I think
that played for Rangers,
right? Yeah, I think he's definitely one of them anyway. Is that Lee Miller? I remember him. Played for like Aberdeen and stuff. Aberdeen wanted like close to £5 million from Miowski. I wouldn't pay £5 million from him. Like, I don't think he's that good. Look around the league. I completely agree. I was actually thinking Celtic should have made a look for Lewis Ferguson at the time. And I do think that there's any good players in Scotland that are playing in like some of the like lower provincial clubs, if they're going to go to, I don't know, like the English Premier League or wherever they go, they should filter through Celtic so that Celtic can try and get like the maximum bid that's going to be paid for them, as opposed to like Ferguson, who's looked like he's going to end up at Juventus in the summer. There has to be players. Now, the other side of that is we should be bringing players through our youth setup that are good enough to play for Celtic every week.
Oh, big time.
At the minute, you've got young Callie and stuff coming through, haven't you? I completely agree with both of you, what you're saying there in terms of the Scottish market, and there is some quality players who damn they could do a job. And this Celtic say that we currently have, I mean, it's not far away from being a really strong squad who can compete against anyone. But you're right, Matt, you're right 100%. There is some quality players there that we should look at. And the exact same appears what you're saying as well, you know, in terms of improving our academy and, you know, keep filtering through players into the first team. It's something you don't really see anymore. But when you see the likes of young lads, Daniel Callan and stuff, getting a shot, you love to see it, don't you? You sort of homegrown talent getting an opportunity. Lads, this has been incredible, by the way. This is flowing by right here on the hour mark. We've basically covered everything. Matt, having you on, mate, it's been fantastic. If we could, I'm in the mood for a good song. If you had the guitar, I'm like, well, you pay me a pair of squad tenorites to get you going.
I've got a gig at that, a 90-year-old bar mitzvah here in White Rock.
I love it.
Lee slags me, Pierce, and I would play anywhere for money.
whoa, I say you could play anywhere for money. Would you play anywhere for money?
Aye. apart from Sandy or Rangers supporters club, anywhere else.
And the official Republican movement, the ORM, or any sort of sticky establishments around the Belfast facility. what's coming up for you in the near future, Matt, in terms of games and stuff and albums and that?
I'm getting to record some more tunes over like a month or two. Maybe have a wee live album coming out here over the summer. Supporting Charlie and the boys on the 3rd of May in Lurgan Sally Supporters Club, which will be a good one. And just, yeah, just flat out every weekend at Nancy Mulligan's. Spreading the good word of the Revs and Glasgow Celtic, mate.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. And then obviously you've got the, of course, the biggest gig of the year with Mr. Egan here.
What's that?
For that one, Pierce.
Oh,
he's double booked. Look, he has that 80th birthday party booked instead of your wedding.
Well, is that your wedding, Pierce? Is it?
Yeah.
I just have it in my diary. Pierce Egan brackets Lee Fitzpatrick contact. So yeah, I'll contact Lee when I need any info for it. But yeah, can't wait a bit.
In the West Jack Community Centre instead, Pierce.
I got the fear because you said you were playing in the Custom House, was it, for like the whole of month of July on every Saturday? I was like, he said that shopping me.
No, fuck. No, don't worry. No, it's I'm looking forward to your wedding. Be several beers consumed that day. So yeah, that's the biggest gig of the year.
Absolutely. And we'll have to do a live podcast from that as well, mate, on your wedding day, imagine that there. I'll be absolutely delighted.
I know
Carla wanted to get rid of me for an hour. But boys, this has been absolutely incredible, fantastic. We'll definitely do a preview of the game before Aberdeen.
Lee, quickly, just before we finish off, I don't know the woman, but just condolences to that woman who died yesterday at the game.
100%. The club have obviously put that on social media. But yeah, an absolutely terrible, terrible thing. It's
heartbreaking.
No one at any football club or any sporting spectacle should be going to a game and never coming home. So yeah, 100%. We send our condolences to the family. But yeah, boys, as always, it's been absolutely incredible. And we'll do a preview, like we say. Matt, we'll get you back on, mate, if you're free. We'll do a preview of the Aberdeen game. Either, you know, we'll get it done before, or we'll either do like a post-match reaction and stuff. But boys, it's been an absolutely beautiful weekend. Matt, no doubt you'll smash your gig tonight, mate, and give the boys here an out shout out. Everyone's love and life, and yeah, fantastic weekend. Right. Celtic back on top, 1 point clear, still playing at Celtic Park. It's been fantastic, boys. Speak to you the next time. All the best.
Right.